This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
I am the terror that flaps in the night. I am the bug that splatters across the windshield of crime. I am Darkwing Duck, and I'm listening to the Canned Air Podcast. How about you?
Everyone, and welcome to another episode of Canned Air, your tribute to comics and pop culture. I am Jeremy Colley.
I'm Jack Doherty.
And joining us today, I tried to catch up with this guy at TorgCon. We were just at TorgCon, what, the end of September?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when I got to his table, finally, he was at the bathroom. And I only had so much time to be on the floor because we were announcing and we had our own table to run. But his wife gave me one of his comics, Roadkill Rampage, number one. And then the guy at the table next to him, which was Sean Forney, good friend of Canned Air, and just an all-around good guy, said, you ought to get this guy on the show. So, hey, you know, if Sean says it, we got to do it. We got to do
legit.
It's legit. So we welcome today from Roadkill Rampage, which is currently funding its second issue on Kickstarter, running until November 19th. We welcome comic creator Rodney Fike to the show. Rodney, thank you so much for being here, man.
Excellent. Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
It's an honor to have you, and excited to talk about Roadkill Rampage. We got to read this book, and it was a lot of fun. Big thanks again to you and your wife for giving that to us to check out.
Absolutely.
I always love checking out new comics. It's always so much fun, and this is no exception. This was a lot of fun. But before we get to that, we're going to be talking about the cars that are stars in our retro roundtable. Pretty much famous cars from throughout comics, movies, television, anywhere we can think of them. We've kind of done this before. I think, you know, touched on like the Batmobile and stuff in there. But I was, I kind of got my next level of picks to talk about. Not that we can't talk about the Batmobile if that's to come up. That's not my point. But I just want people to know I'm not bringing the same thing to the table personally.
I was wondering. I was like, I think we've done this before, but that, it wasn't.
We're on episode 415. We've done everything before. We're like the Simpsons at this point.
But
and then after that, we're going to turn our attention over to Rodney and talk about everything Roadkill Rampage. But before we do all that, don't forget to find us on Twitter at CannedAirPod and on Instagram at Canned_Air. If you like what we're doing, want to show some support, head over to our website, cannedairpodcast.com. There are two different buttons on there, one of them being a merch button that gets you t-shirts, stickers, mugs. What else, Jack?
There's iPhone cases, which I think those are going to get changed out because they're like iPhone 8s.
Actually, that shit's out of date. That's been out of date.
Now that there's the 11s and, well, the 13s are out.
There's still mugs, stickers, and tote bags and shirts for you, though, peoples, and that's what matters, right? And also, there's a Patreon link there, which for $5 to $10 a month, depending on what you want, there's a whole nother catalog of Canned Air material out there for you guys to listen to. We just finished recording our latest Canned Air Patreon pod, and I found it to be a hell of a lot of fun.
It was
so much fun. We were just talking about concert experiences we've had in our past, and damn. I can't wait to edit it. I had that much fun recording it. It was that good. So check that out. Again, CannedAirPodcast.com. And once again, don't forget to find us on EvergreenPodcast.com, our home, our network we're on, along with a lot of other great shows. So again, EvergreenPodcast.com. And I think, is there anything else am I forgetting? I think I got it.
No, that's it. Ever since Torg's been over, there seemed like there's something
missing. That and Halloween,
Something missing, but I guess nope.
All right, wonderful. Well, then let's kick it off with this week's Retro Roundtable.
Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Ready to move out.
Holy nightmare. Holy barracuda.
Holy impregnability.
All right. right, cars that are stars. Jack, kick us off.
My first one's a video game from back in the 80s that I totally forgot about until after ToysCon when we went to that bar arcade that it popped back into my life again. I haven't gone back to play it, but Spy Hunter.
I know nothing. I don't. Was that like a James Bond kind of a car?
Yeah.
I do remember that.
Yeah, it was just top down driving, and you had, you know, a gas and a throttle and steering, and then you had triggers because you could.
For some reason, my mind went straight to smoke. Pinball game. That wasn't pinball, was it? That was an actual arcade game.
Arcade, yeah.
Huh.
But it was hard as hell. A lot of those old arcade games are.
Especially the driving ones. You turn the wheel and you just slide all over the fucking place.
But I didn't even come close to getting as far as I used to, which I was never far playing that game anyway, because, you know, it's a quarter hog, so.
That's why you never saw past Rocksteady in the Turtles arcade game, because by the time you got to him, you're always $5 in.
Yep.
Yeah, I remember.
But it was fun. The music was so James Bond-esque, too. Kinda.
Well, you have to have the royalty-free version. So,
just change
the notes.
That one note a little bit, yeah.
All right, let's move over to Rodney. Rodney, cars that are stars, sir.
I'm going to go with Kit from Knight Rider.
Ooh, yeah. Good choice. Good choice.
You know, back in the time when computers were just starting to invade our homes and. And here comes a car with a computer and a brain that talked to you and you could interact with, you know, for a kid, 12-year-old kid, that was magic. So
that's true. Yeah. I'm wondering as an adult, though, let's say, you know, your first car was Kit and you're like, man, you can't get rid of Kit because he's got a personality. You know, he's not just a car. He's not just a machine. Mm-hmm. There's a mind in there.
Right.
So not only are you stuck driving this like out of date car for years,
driving a Trans Am from,
but at what point does this your privacy get encroached on? Like, you know what I mean?
I just want to leave him home.
Can't I just take a drive without listening to this fucker talk? You never drive me anymore, Michael. Why don't we talk anymore, Michael?
From the garage.
There's no making out with the girlfriend in the back seat in that car either.
Oh, my God. I never even thought about that. I was trying to think of the many ways that he would be able to encroach on your privacy. That's got to be it, right? That's it. Making out in the car.
Yes.
Or he doing anything else secrets. In the car.
Was he able to see you, though, from the inside of the car? That's what I...
Well, he wouldn't have to see. He would just have to hear you. But then that
Oh, yeah, he'd be able to hear, definitely, yeah.
I've noticed tension on the shocks going up and down, Michael.
Feel you in the car.
Your heartbeats are... fluctuating.
What's all indications show that you're slaying ass, Michael.
Did Michael, were you guys fan of the pipe again?
Were you guys fan of the transforming Kit car that towards the end of the series when he had like the turbo mode and like all the stuff would pop out and you never really got to see exactly what Kit looked like because it was.
I don't know that I remember that.
What do you mean you never got to see what he looked like? You mean look like a finished morph mode of what he looked like?
Pretty much, yeah. There was never really, not that I can remember, there was never really a good shot of what the car looked like with all the extra parts that would pop out just to make it a little more sleek and aerodynamic. But
how many seasons were there of Knight Rider?
I have no idea.
So this was like probably like the last season, like when the A-Team, like, we're getting desperate for ratings. They had to switch shit up. So like, all right, now we're working for the government instead of running from them.
Change it up just a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would guess probably 4 seasons, maybe?
Like 60 episodes a season back in the day. When
30 episodes on, each an hour long. Yeah. No, I would have honestly thought there'd have been more, but you're probably right because I don't know shit about Knight Rider other than David Hasselhoff and Kit and Mr. Feeny being the voice of said car. But I remember when I was a kid, I had the Knight Rider Power Wheel or Big Wheel. Is that what it was
big
called?
Wheels, yeah.
Big
Wheel.
Big Wheel, yeah.
Big Wheel. I had the Knight Rider Big Wheel and had just the sticker of the red light going back and forth. What a bummer, man. When you think you're going to have a big wheel that's got that red light actually going back and forth and it's just a fucking sticker.
Well, shoot, even when I had a car that graduated, they had the red LED lights that you could put on your car that were supposed to swoop back and forth, but... they didn't swoosh like Kit's. It just went dink, dink, dink.
Oh, dink. Just, shit.
I mean, it moved back and forth, but it was
there still never. There have got to be some hellacious Kit cosmetics for cars nowadays. You would have to imagine.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are you driving a kit, Rodney? Is that why you answered yes so quick?
Yes, I have all of them.
Ew.
Wouldn't it be cool though if we did? You know, I think about I Uber and DoorDash during the days, and how cool if I had Kit to just be like, tell him where to go and just chill in the driver's seat on my phone, just like get it done, Kit.
Yeah,
I've kept you up to getting your oil changes for years and new tires. Like, you owe me this.
You take care of me now.
Yeah.
You scratch my back.
Don't bother me till we get there.
See what pick to go with here. There was a video game back in the day, and some of you guys might remember it. I may have talked about it before. Carmageddon. Do you remember that game at all?
Not really.
I mean, talking a long time ago, like early 2000s, maybe late 90s. And I believe it started as a PC game, but then got ported to consoles. And from what I understand, the console versions were just dog crap compared to the PC version. But essentially what this game was an all-out demolition derby. But it was kind of like Mario Kart in a way. So you were in like a city setting. All the maps were different, but, you know, they were contained maps, total 3D exploration. Not like Mario Kart in the sense where you're racing on a track.
Right.
You were out to destroy each other. And when the race started, you would have to go as quick as you can to find the power-up weapons to take other people out.
Right.
Like, there was a box that had a spring on it with a number 3 on it, like spring to the third power. When you would get it, whenever you were in the vicinity of an enemy car, you would hit a button and that spring would just launch them off in whatever direction they were from you. It was so fun. There's another one that had like a bomb on it with to the third power. And you could then like, your car would like fart bombs out and it would make the noise every time it did. But the best thing about this game for me was the detail to destruction of each car.
Mm.
Like, it wasn't just like, you know, it doesn't matter where you shoot it. It's like one health bar going down. Like, you could have your front end taken out and the back still gone.
Yeah.
It's like, you could be like, okay, your axle's about to go, or your engine's overheat. You know, there was a whole bunch of things. You had a whole diagram of the car you were looking at, seeing what the fuck was going wrong.
Certain parts would get damaged depending on how hit they were.
Right.
Yeah.
But it was so much fun. I just remember having a blast with that game. And it got crazy, too, because, like, the last level was, like, a big UFO with aliens and shit. And you had to, like, run as many aliens over as you could and while taking out the other enemy, like, other derby players. It was just fucking crazy. But it was a blast.
That's like Twisted Metal was another pick of mine.
Very much in that, very much in that aspect, just not as successful.
That game was fun. They had two or three of those, I think, versions of it.
Quite a bit. I feel like, aren't they still not making them still? Or
as far as I haven't seen them in years, not since PlayStation, what, probably two?
Two,
I think it was.
Yeah. Yeah, those were fun games.
Ice cream truck.
Yeah,
I hated that one.
He was like the mascot popular, though. Car, yeah, though, of yeah. that of that series, wasn't he?
Mine was the Spectre, the spy car, pretty much.
There was a game on Dreamcast, that flash in the pan system, and I'm sure it was probably on other consoles. It was like Rush 4099 or something like that, 2099, something like that.
That sounds very familiar, yeah.
But it was very much the same thing. It was a demo derby, but it was kind of like you were in like a great big BattleBots arena where like shit would pop up out of the ground and fuck you up, and like there were turrets that you, like, if you ran over it, it would like for a certain amount of time target the other players. And it was fun. Like, we played the hell out of it. You know, as short-lived as that Dreamcast was, a lot of gameplay came out of that thing.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, I gotta get mine cleaned up and see if it still
Maybe
works.
It wasn't such a failure after all. All right. That brings us back to you, Jack.
One from a movie by Stephen King called Christine.
I was wondering if that was going to come up, and I've never seen Christine. Have you, Rodney, seen Christine?
Yes, I have.
So you guys then can both tell me the premise to this movie. Was the car actually alive?
Yes.
Yes,
well, it was haunted or demonized, wasn't it?
Possessed or whatever you want.
Where, and throughout the movie,
it starts... spoil it for me. Just lay it on me. Like, how's this car get...
It starts changing and becoming more creepy, I guess.
But did somebody, like, put a spell on it or something? Or, like, why was this car possessed?
That I don't remember. I've seen it one time, and it was a long time ago.
Because of Satan?
Well, I think it was it just created an attachment with the main character,
the driver,
who was kind of a dweebing self. He was picked on, but he was picked on in front of the car, so the car, I guess, kind of bonded with him.
Oh, okay.
Because he would get in the car after he'd been picked on and, you know, kind of sulk in the car. So I guess the car kind of created a bond with it, and it started upgrading itself. And as it upgraded, he got more confident.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, because he'd start wearing a leather jacket and looking cool and have an attitude.
Their egos kind of grew together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's, I guess they're supposed to be redoing that movie, rebooting it.
I have no doubt.
I've heard that.
Yeah, it's not a big surprise, but
no,
it'll probably be a Camaro or something like that instead of 57 Chevy, I think that it was.
So this is probably like a, yeah, you're right. Kind of like the way they made Kit a Mustang when he came back.
Or something like that.
When they did that reboot. But
tried to reboot him.
Would you guys say, and this, again, this is probably a stupid question because, again, this is Stephen King we're talking about, but would you say that watching the original Christine now would be beneficial to me, or is it just, is it like too dated? Should I wait for the...
I think it'd be too dated.
Really? What about you, Rodney?
I'm going to agree, and here's why. Tina was watching, I was down here in the studio working, and she was upstairs, and she was watching, she had Carrie on the TV.
Oh, yeah.
And it was the end of the night, so I lay down and started watching it with her. And the pivotal scene where everything happens, I'm laying there and I'm watching it, I'm going, I guess this was probably scary in 79, but it's really lame now.
Mm-hmm. So, but what made it lame? Was it just like the special effects coming from 1979?
No, it was just that the climax of the movie was just her standing there with her eyes bulging out and her veins in her neck as she was telekinetically moving things and pulling things down on people. And the acting was so bad that you found yourself watching the people in the crowd as they just try to look like they're
frantic. Yeah.
Yeah. Going frantic and like moving off camera left, off camera right. And then waiting to see him reappear doing this because what was going on in front of the camera was just so terrible. It was just, just low budget. How all those early Stephen King movies were. Mm-hmm.
Did they remake that one?
Yes.
Yeah, I think they
what's
did.
What's her name that plays Hit Girl was Carrie.
That was it. And, comparing the two scenes, I prefer the original. Really? I know what you're talking about, Rodney. I know exactly what you are talking about, and you're exactly right. But there's something in that that just big bug-eyed, like frozen reaction that kind of brings it home more for me. Yeah. I don't. I just can never see what's Hit Girl's real name?
Chloe
something.
Something, yeah.
I just can't see a school full of people thinking Chloe something is something to make fun of or. Right. Bash, that's the other thing, pick too. On.
Yeah.
She's freakishly beautiful.
Yeah.
And this other girl, I could see that with.
You get someone that's not kind that of dumpy, not, it's easier to pick on someone, I guess.
Yeah, I don't want to say she was ugly, but she was no Hit Girl. She's no Hit Girl.
Right. Yeah, she was eccentric looking, we'll call it.
Yes.
I want to say that her mother in that movie did a very, very good job of playing that eccentricity up. Maybe I'm wrong about that.
I think they both kind of did, the mother more so than the daughter.
I haven't seen that in a minute. It's been a long time. I need to watch that film again. And I need to see Christine for the first time, I guess.
Yeah, I haven't seen Christine in probably 20 years.
I remember a few of those first cons that you and I were looking at going with when we first started this show had the car. What was that one in Dayton that con we were going to do? I can't remember. They were supposed to have the Christine car there.
Was that the one that we ended up not going to, which turned
fiasco. Where the ground fell out beneath it? Yeah, the whole con like fell apart. Yeah.
At the end, just a week before the show.
Yeah,
that's right. He was the car was supposed to be there. I don't think it was the actual monster car from the end of the movie. I think it was just how it started out looking.
It was like its original.
Yeah.
All right, very good. That brings us back around to Rodney.
Okay, so it's a car from a movie. Is that what we're doing now?
Or TV or comic or video game, anything really.
Okay. I wasn't really a big gamer back in the day. I was I played video games at the arcade. I had went to the arcade. I never had a home console. So I'm going to go back to the movies, and I'm going to say, and there's a reason, because this is the movie that kind of was a big influence for Roadkill Rampage. It's a movie called Dirty Mary Crazy Larry, starring Peter Fonda, and I can't think of the girl's name, but it was just one of those old grindhouse movies where he was just a hood, you know, with his long hair and his sideburns, and he was in the country. He did something to piss the cops off, so it was just a chase movie from that point on, and he had a lime green Roadrunner, and he just ran from the cops all over the country roads and stuff.
Seems like not very discreet car to be running from the cops in lime green.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was the 70s, so
not a lot. Fair sense. Enough. Touche, Rodney.
Think Marl was chasing him in the helicopter, which I thought was kind of prophetic. Since I hadn't seen the movie since I was about 12 or 13 years old, and I go back and I look at it and go, oh, Vic Morrow's the one in the helicopter? Nice.
What is it about a good chase movie?
We all know how that turned out.
Right. My favorite chase movie is the Harrison Ford, The Fugitive.
Smoking the Bandit.
Smoking the Bandit. Yeah. Really?
Yeah, that's so good.
You know, one that I was completely disappointed by was Bullet. I heard for years and years how awesome that chase scene was in that movie. And I finally watched it. It's probably 7 or 8 years ago. And I was like, really? This is, I guess in 68, this was considered badass?
Yeah.
This is really weak.
So, some of the Mission Impossible movies deliver some pretty intense chase scenes. But what's awesome, I think it was Mission Impossible. I'm pretty sure it was. But past that is like they just keep going on and on and on. They don't last like a quick 5 minutes and go on. It's like 20 minutes later and you're still watching the chase scene and the cars and shit. And I think
I'll tell
that.
You, a really good chase scene that lasted a while, but it was intense as hell, was the Jason Bourne movie with Jeremy Renner in it.
Where that, he's man, running. I've always wanted to get somebody's testimonial who's seen that. Is that good?
Yeah. That is surprisingly really good. Keith Urban is the guy that he's running from in that chase scene.
Oh, wow. You
and
lost me.
That
so
is
quick.
Just, I mean, that is just worth the price of admission. Just that chase scene alone is just, it just punches you in the mouth and punches you in the mouth again before you get a chance to recover. And it's really, it puts you on the edge of your seat. And it's amazing.
You see, you say like Keith Urban, like the country singer Keith Urban.
No, I meant Carl Urban.
Carl, yeah. Say Bones.
You know, Judge Dredd.
Yeah. Oh, I was the like, butcher. What?
I knew who he was talking about, and I wasn't sure to take that as good or with being lost to you. Like,
well, he said,
he lost me. I'm in.
Well, he said, let me. Well, doesn't Keith Urban?
That is a country singer. Yeah.
Wasn't he who was with Nicole Kidman?
Yes.
Doesn't he have like the like those Kevin Sorbo hair?
Yep.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he's one of the guests on he's the gorgeous. Judges on American Idol.
American Idol, yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, how did that get under my radar? Keith Urban
it was a European
and Jeremy
release
Renner. Wow.
You know what I always liked in the old chase movies and car stuff? Going in, all the old car chase movies is the added sound effects. Like if they're chasing on dirt road and you hear tires squealing, like when they if they
oh like
it,
when
coming
they
around
fuck
the corner,
up the sound effects.
Yeah, like yeah. You just totally hear. You're like they're on dirt. It doesn't make sounds like that.
I think that would be my dream job is putting sound to movies and stuff. Have you ever seen the people that do that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. There was a documentary on, I think it was like they did like maybe Sunday morning years ago, did a piece on like one of the most famous guys who does that. But he just has a big warehouse full of different things that make different noises. Yep. There was this one table that he had, like he picked up at a garage sale he'd used for years. He'd just lean against it and kind of like move it to the right or left and do that perfect.
Oh, the creak.
Like a door opening and shit, you know?
Aren't but, they called Foley artists?
What's that?
Foley artists, isn't that what they're called?
I have no idea. Is it?
I think that's what they're called.
Ooh, F-O-L-Y. Now I know what the profession's called. Now I can seek it out.
I was watching Looney Tunes last night, and that all that stuff was going through my head, sitting there watching and hearing horns honk and beeps and stuff in the background. I'm like, that's just guys sitting there playing with springs and stuff in the background.
I was just watching on YouTube. It just came up on my feed from it was like 1940s Warner Brothers cartoon. It was like informational, like it was on the army, like showing how the army works day to day, like from the time they get up and their daily routines. But it was like, at one point, the camera pans over and goes, and here comes the camouflage infantry. And it's just a bunch of floating guns. It was so funny. It's like, I love that these old Mel Blanc things can still put me on my ass.
Yeah,
like,
that's the same. I had the same thing last night. Yeah. I was cracking up at stuff, and I'm like, good God, this stuff still holds up.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's time. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
That's the truth. All right, so where are we at here? 27. Is there any other picks that anyone had to get off their chest before we moved on?
Batmobile, but we'll talk
about that one. I was going to say the Grand Torino from Starsky and Hutch.
Ooh,
that car's nice. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's a car you can ride around. That's a car that's kind of like Coca-Cola. It doesn't matter what era or time you're in. It's like it's awesome. Mm-hmm. It's just awesome. You know.
And the funny thing is. Like nowadays, every once in a blue moon, I'll see one drive down the street and I'm 7 years old again and I am totally transfixed. I'm like,
oh God, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody knows what the hell's wrong with me. Like, what? Like this Starsky and Hutch. You're old. Shut up.
I get it, man. I saw the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile once. It changed my fucking life. It blew my mind. All righty. Well, with that all behind us, that was a fun conversation. Mm-hmm. Had some good picks there. Let's jump to a quick commercial, and when we come back, we're going to be talking with Rodney about Roadkill Rampage. So stay tuned.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, we are back from commercial. And Rodney, I want to thank you once again for taking time to be here with us tonight. Been a lot of fun so far, and I'm very excited to hear more about not only your comic, but the Kickstarter for issue 2. Which, again, is running until November 19th. So, like I kind of said at the top of this episode, I stopped by the table to meet you, and you weren't there, and I had to get back to our booth, but your wife passed on the comic, and we've all kind of passed it around like a cheap whore around this comic podcasting room, and we've all rather enjoyed it. It's very... It's different in a way, and not a bad way, but I guess I don't even have words for it. I just loved see, now I just want to kind of divulge, and this is the problem when I read too much of the people's stuff, is I just want to sit there and say
talk about everything
it.
That happens. Yep.
Let's just start by talking about yourself, Rodney. How did you get into comics, and how long have you been doing this?
I got into comics back in the 90s, me and my friends from high school got together in art class in high school and created a group of superheroes called the Superior Seven. And we all graduated from high school, and the artist and myself, Dion Knuckles, we went to the same school together, art school here in Cincinnati. And our one friend, Chris, he went into the Marine Corps. And, so I just kind of kept everything together. And, when he got out of the Marine Corps, we all got back together. And during that time, I had written the five-issue saga that was the five issues that we printed. So we did that. We were in Diamond, internationally distributed.
Nice.
Before the internet.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? That's some big shit right there. Mm-hmm. That really is. Yeah. That really is.
I've got a box of fan mail from all over the world. I have fan mail from 5 different continents.
Wow.
So it's kind of like my little flag of, yes, we did this before the internet. So when people talk about getting in Diamond now, I'm like, whatever.
Yeah.
My grandma's in Diamond. Get out of here.
Exactly. So we did that. That ran its course. We actually produced about 7.5, probably no, eight issues, but 5 of them only sold prints. We just had the age old issue that all independent companies have is losing an artist, replacing an artist, losing an artist, replacing.
Sure.
So we got into coloring because we could control that. And we did that for about 8 years. Fast forward a little bit. Everybody did the adult thing, got married, had kids, moved away, blah, blah, blah. And I got the dreaded day job and ended up blowing out my back at work. And it was kind of a blessing in disguise because I wasn't able to do anything. So I started drawing again and hanging out online, which is where I met my wife. And we got to know each other over the course of about 1.5 years. And then we started getting together and seeing each other. And one thing led to another. We started dating and we found it Hasm Productions and started with Peanut Pudding and Jelly in 2009. We did 6 issues of that, actually 7, but 6 have seen print. And we did a one-shot horror story called Unchained. And then we jumped into doing Pitter Patter, which is also kind of a all-ages book. And then I was kind of getting pigeonholed into, oh, that's the guy that does all the kid stuff. And I wanted to branch out of that because I felt that I had more to offer. So I wanted to been a big fan of horror for a long time. So I got this idea for Roadkill Rampage. And I wrote down the basic plot of the story. And it sat on a shelf for about 1.5 years until we found an artist. I had somebody in mind, but their style was too cartoony. So we just kind of, you know, let it sit on the shelf. And then
yeah, this is a year later, premise that, no, yeah. that would benefit from cartoony.
Yeah. Yeah. So, we have a group here in Cincinnati called the Cincinnati Comic Creators Club that we founded. And one week we met Eamon Hill. He showed up at the thing, and over the course of about 6 months, we got to know each other. And I talked to Tina one night after the meeting. I said, "What do you think about asking Eamon to draw it?" And she's like, "Well, it can't hurt to ask him." So the next month, I started talking to him about it, and he was all gung ho. He had one question, because I was explaining to him the pivotal scene in issue 1. And he said, "Well, how do you plan on doing that? What's going to be your approach?" I said, "Well, I'm a big fan of Alfred Hitchcock, and his approach, his less is more approach to the violence." And he's like, "I'm in."
So, wow, that's all it took.
Yeah, because kids are exposed to so much these days, and when I say kids, I mean everybody.
Yeah,
you know, you don't to not see it, to imply it. Leaves it up to your imagination to create what happens. And in my opinion, your imagination is a lot scarier
always
than any picture you can see.
Yeah,
sure.
So, but Alfred Hitchcock has been gone for 2 generations. And, you know, a lot of people have forgotten about that approach, but I've always enjoyed that approach.
It makes so that's, sense. Yeah.
Yeah. And with the book, I mean, it's a combination of my love for old grindhouse type movies, old 70s and early 80s horror movies. Because if you notice throughout the issue, there's no indication of the time period. Mm-hmm. Right. But there are no cell phones, there are no digital displays, there are no anything like that. So, and that was kind of on purpose. I wanted to kind of be timeless, but you kind of knew she wasn't going to be able to pick up a cell phone and call for help.
Right.
So yeah, I think we did a pretty good job with the grindhouse look, the grindhouse feel, and it's carried over to issue 2 as well.
Damn good job, I would say.
When you mentioned that earlier, talking about watching grindhouse movies, then it kind of dawned on me the correlation to the book. I was like, well, that makes total sense. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, sure. Just stuff that I don't even remember the names to the movies that I saw as a kid on Saturday mornings or Saturday afternoons after the cartoons were done playing, and stuff that you'd go to the movie theater and they would be running before King Kong or Herbie and the Love Bug. And stuff like that. Yeah. So
for listeners, okay, we're all sitting here talking about it. You know, obviously you're the creator. We've both read it. We have an understanding of it. But for those listening who don't have any clue as to what Roadkill Rampage is, how would you describe it to them?
I would describe it as a good intention gone horribly wrong. Because the intent was to go for a nice drive on a beautiful sunny day into the forest.
Mm-hmm.
And it just goes sideways from there.
So very sideways.
A little bit.
Yeah. And then it becomes, it devolves into a deeper, darker horror story, as she becomes alone and she's in the forest at night by herself and notices something following her, a dark, evil presence. She has no idea what it is, only that it's after her. She knows it's evil.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So she's trying to figure that out. She comes in issue two, she comes across an injured dog. She's trying to find her way home. So her being an animal lover that she is, she takes it straight, get it some help, and stumbles across an old veterinarian's house deep in the woods. So she goes up there and she's talking to the veterinarian, and he tells her about all the strange things that the animals in the area have been doing here lately. So Tess, being a young girl in a horror movie does what every young girl in a horror story does. She goes back to the scene of the crime where she finds the dog and starts poking her nose where it doesn't belong, and she kicks a hornet's nest. When she does that, she realizes that evil comes in many forms in the deep, dark forest. So, yeah, then it becomes a story of whether or not she can prevail and escape the deep, dark evil that's following her.
That's a good tagline right there in itself. Mm-hmm. Many evils come from the deep, dark forest. You should really put that on a T-shirt, Rodney. I dig that.
Well, I've got a good tagline for issue three. The script for issue three is done, and I'm actually working on the script for issue four. But there is a scene in issue three that says, we can't go in the woods. There are things in the woods. There's something to that effect.
There definitely are.
I don't have it with me. I don't have it handy. I don't know. It's funny. But when I was writing it, I wrote it and I sat back and I looked at it and goes, that should be like on the back of issue two. That's a really good tag on it.
There you go.
So, yeah, it just evolves into chaotic us watching her, you know, trying to get away. Wow. And all of the evil and all the different forms that the evil comes in. So
do you like have a set number of these you're going to do, or are you seeing this as an ongoing series?
Yes. It really depends. I mean, this was initially just a one shot, but as we did it and we got the pages back from Eamon, it grew in my head. It just, the characters talked to me constantly. So they just kept talking to me, and a whole story arc opened up for issue two. And so it's slated for a four issue miniseries. That's what I'm writing now. So I'm writing issue four. It's the final issue. That's not to say that issue two funded in 24 hours. Nice. We just broke the $3,000 mark today on it with 9 or 10 days to go.
Yeah, you guys are doing fantastic. Congratulations to you, too.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. If it keeps building, then yes, we would probably keep going. But as of right now, it's slated for four issues. So there's a beginning, a middle, and an end.
And those will all compress nicely into a very nice graphic novel.
Yeah.
Yes. A nice trade paperback. Yes. Yeah.
Very nice, man. That's exciting. So for those people who do get on your Kickstarter again until November 19th, I like to always remind people of that, to back issue number two, what kind of rewards are they going to get?
Well, let's see. We have variant covers from Sean Forney.
Oh, hey.
Ooh, yeah.
Raise the roof.
Sean and Stephanie are very good friends of ours. So, So Sean comes through again with an awesome pinup. And we have a friend of ours who is from Toronto, Canada, who does, he's big time. I call him big time in the Marvel sketch cards world, Andre Ausch. This is actually his first variant cover he's ever done. So we asked him to do a variant cover because we're pretty excited about that. Nice. So then we're going to have Sean Langley's, who is the artist for issue two. I call it the alpha cover. And then Steph Wilson. We got Steph Wilson to do a naughty version and a nice version of Tess bent over there next to the car with all the little woodland creatures around her.
Sweet.
So those are all offered holofoil versions. There's virgin versions with no type trace or any of that stuff on there. And then we're also offering mini prints of the covers. We have a metal trading card set of all the bad guys from issue one. And our one stretch goal, which is at $32.50, is the metal sketch card of Tess, which would be all of them. So you get the six bad guys, which's already been unlocked.
And, the, or, the no, metal trading cards
they're,
are
the those are add-ons. Yeah, Tess is the chase card. I'm sorry. So yeah, so we got some awesome metal trading cards there. And what else? We have blanks for that I can do commissions on myself or whoever you'd like to do a commission on there. So it's the Rogue Kill Rampage logo on there. It's a sketch cover. What else? We have commissions. I believe there's one commission left for me for $75. It's a 6x9.
There's two for Sean.
And there are two available for Sean. So that's a pretty good price. Full color 6x9 piece for $75 is a really good price.
I would say so. A lot of good stuff to get.
Yeah. And then are we loading more original pages, baby?
There's an original page tier up.
Okay. There is original page tier up. And you can request original art as well for issue two. So, yes. So there's all kind of good stuff. There's we got the holofoil sticker. I know I'm forgetting this stuff.
We always do in these moments. Trust me, I know.
Yeah. We didn't do a bookmark this time.
You said like metal trading cards though, like cards that are actually like hard metal.
Yes.
Very.
Of the five bad guys from the issue.
That's an add-on.
And those are add-ons. So
nice.
And then Tess is the chase card at the stretch goal of $32.50. If we get to $32.50, everybody will get a Tess chase card.
Well, looking at your guys' progress thus far, it looks like there's a good chance of that happening. You guys' Kickstarter has really taken off and done really well. So just, again, huge congrats to you guys. And I want to, again, remind people to check that out on Kickstarter, Roadkill Rampage. We're going to have links on our social media, Facebook, website, all of our places that be to help link people over. And I know, Rodney, your social media handles are at Rodney_Fike. That's FYKE. Is there anywhere else people should be checking you out other than the Kickstarter and your social media?
Instagram, like you said, Rodney_Fike on Instagram. Rodney Fike Art on Facebook. We do the Thursday night throwdown or Friday night draw, myself and Sean Forney, every Thursday and Friday night at 8:00 Eastern. Thursday nights, we're on all of my social platforms. Friday night, we're on all of Sean's platforms. Rodney Fike Art on Twitch and the Hasm YouTube channel. And Hasm.com is our website where you can go and look at all the books and list of all the creators and stuff and check out all of that fun stuff on Hasm.com.
Wonderful. Sweet. Yeah, I'll put the link to that on there too. I need to check that out. I didn't realize that Hasm was something you guys had created.
Yeah, that's the name of the company. And real quick, it's the name Hasm comes from my brother. I have an older brother that's mentally disabled. So he has his isms that he's always said. And one of them has always been don't have a Hasm or have a Hasm. And what that means is to just relax and chill out, take a break, take a breath.
Yeah.
So I've always thought that when I sit down to read comics, you know, whether you're sitting on a couch or you're laying on the bedroom floor with your stack of comics for the week, you're having a hasm. You're just relaxing and you're checking it out. So when we started forming the company, I was like, we got to name it Hasm.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good name. It really is. It's not like you're just trying to make something work because he came up with it. It's a great name. That's amazing. Right. I'll put that on there too. Hasm.com, you said.
Yep.
Wonderful. Rodney, I want to thank you so much for taking time to be here. And I also want to thank your wife, Tina. She has just been a jack of all trades and very helpful through all
everything. She is faster.
Got us up and running tonight.
Well, she even gave us this book here.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So big thanks to you both for being here. And just, again, huge congratulations to you on your success. It's no surprise, though, as to why people would want to back this. It's a lot of fun. It was a great read, and I can't wait to see issues 2, 3, and 4. So looking forward to it, Rodney. Thank you so much for being here, man.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us.
Jack, what do we have on the website, sir?
Go to CandairPodcast.com.
That's the one.
You can check out the show, see who's been on the show, find out how to get a hold of people that have been on the show. I guess to an extent, maybe not the celebrities. You won't be able to get a hold of them.
No, you can't get a hold of them. You do your own damn research, people.
Become a patron, buy some merch, see some of our videos from our YouTube page, and if you'd like to be a guest and promote your work, send us an email on our contact page.
There we go. And don't forget to find us on Twitter at CannedAirPod and on Instagram at Canned_Air. And if you like what we're doing, want to show a little support, again, those merch buttons on the merch button and the Patreon button on the website Jack was just talking about, CannedAirPodcast.com. All kinds of ways on there. Either through merch you can wear or rep or just extra content you want to listen to, ways you can support us there. And if you don't have the money to support us, then just drop us a review on whatever platform you're listening to us on. It helps so much more than you realize, and we appreciate it more than you realize.
We'll see it.
We're not just saying that. It really does help. The more those we get, the more likely then iTunes, say, is going to put us on, like, noteworthy lists to get us back under people's noses. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yep. So it does help. It does help. But all right, I think that's going to do it for this week. So until next time, I am Jeremy Colley.
And I am Jack Doherty.
And Rodney Fink.
Thanks so much for listening, everyone, and be excellent to each other.
Are mean, so I'm running away from home.
Where you gotta go?
I don't know yet, but that'll show them.
It sure will.
Shipwreck!
Parents just don't understand, and it gets lonely on the road, so be sure to listen to the Canned Air podcast.
And now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
Oh.
This has been a Canned Air production.
You've got questions, we've got answers. Business leadership, ownership, and sales can be challenging. Tune into the Accelerate Your Business Growth podcast to learn from the world's experts. Join me, your host, Diane Helbig, as I chat with people who have expertise in various areas of business. You'll enjoy the lively conversations that are focused on providing you with the ideas, tips, and suggestions you need to realize greater success. Get what you need for your business when you need it from the people who have the answers. Accelerate Your Business Growth is part of the Evergreen Podcast Network and is available on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.